And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Wednesday. It's the 28th day of May. And Bing Burbist is in with me. And Bing, of course, this month is about to wrap up.
It is. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, you start the month on the first and you end it on the day that it's designated to end.
That's
and then
right.
we start another month. You know,
Man,
that's just the way time goes, doesn't it? It flies. It seems to fly.
It really does. I mean, June. It's hard to believe it. Man, I tell you, it does. It just really flies by so fast.
Yeah.
But it's good to have you with us this morning.
Oh, yeah. It's good to be here.
Had a good drive in, I guess.
I had a good drive in, had a chance to visit and talk with the Lord and
Amen.
And really just commit this morning to Him and thankful
Amen.
For that He got me out of bed again and I'm able to function properly. You know,
well, that's a plus.
May not be normal. but properly, you can ask my wife if I'm normal because I'm probably very abnormal. But very grateful and thankful that the Lord has blessed me the way He has.
Amen.
And I understand that you had a long night. You were transferring your mother from hospital to hospital, and then she wound up at a hospital that you didn't leave her.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I had to. Take her to Russellville last night and emergency room. Of course, about midnight's when I left there. And, of course, my sister took over from there. And then she had to wind up, of course, going to St. Thomas as well. So she's at St. Thomas right now. Of course, she has, I think it's called colitis. I think that's what it is. She had some inflammation around her colon. Of course, doing some bleeding and stuff like that. So we was concerned, and we just want to make sure that, you know, she got taken care of.
Yeah, definitely. So. I told you that we had a member of our church.
Yes.
His name is Elliot Watts, actually, and they may be listening this morning, but he has spent almost a month there. He had some terrible things going on inside his colon, and he went there initially for an examination of his throat, his breathing, and while he was there, by the Lord's directive, they found this problem.
Wow!
And they dealt with it, and he's due to return home. And I went up to visit him, and I tell you what, she's in a good place.
Good.
The staff there are just 100%. On board with patient care. They are open to prayer being done and the name of Jesus being spoken in that place. And it's just a great thing.
Yeah.
But can I pray for her this morning?
You sure can.
Father, we just lift up Brian's mother to you right now. She's in a place, Lord, that is out of the ordinary for her. She was taken from her home and transferred here and there last night. And we just pray that your peace and your comfort will be there. Your presence will fill her and allow her, Lord, just to keep looking up and trusting in you. We pray, Lord, you'll connect her to the right people to give the correct diagnosis and then, Lord, prescribe the best treatment to take care of her. We ask that the family will be comforted also, trusting in you, Lord. We know that all things work together for the good of those who believe and trust in you.
Amen.
And we commit her to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, Bing, where are we picking up at today?
We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians is where we left off last Wednesday. I think we're somewhere around chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians and maybe in the area of verse 17. I'll open up my notes and take a look at that. But we were talking about the foundation that needed to be laid in the church, and that was Jesus Christ, and we are to build upon that foundation. Chapter 4 ended with another reference to a division in the church that occurs, and there should never be any kind of division in the church.
That's
we
right.
should be one. We should be together. We should be built upon this foundation of Jesus Christ and intertwined with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So we'll kind of pick up there when we get back, and hopefully we'll be able to bring God's Word the way it should be done with clarity
Amen.
And truth.
That's right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Here's an observance from Charles Spurgeon. Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. The saving of souls if a man has once gained love to perishing sinners and has blessed his master will be an absorbing passion to him. It will so carry him away that he will almost forget himself in the saving of others. If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Welcome back to Missionary Radio and, of course, the front porch at 7:09.
7:09.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on board the 1 Corinthians train. How about that,
Brian? That sounds good. Yeah.
We're going to pick up 1 Corinthians. I don't know what I said earlier, but it's going to be in 1 Corinthians 4:7. And we're told in that verse, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" And that question could be answered in several different ways, but we know the answer is ultimately God. God makes you different from another. God allows you to be different from another. We are all made differently, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
We're supposed to be one in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. but we are all different. We don't walk around like cookie-cutter Christians, you know.
Sure.
We have different gifts. We have different talents. We have different abilities. And we are, as we are one and building ourselves upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, supposed to just be whole, you know, just a whole body of Christ that can do all of the works with all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit by
That's
different
right.
individuals.
That's so, right.
So we're all appointed to different works.
So that means that all faiths out there should get along with one another, right?
I don't know about
religions.
I'm not talking about religions,
but faith in
yeah,
Christ.
If you are a Christian church, if you call yourselves a Christian church, mm-hmm. and Christ is the cornerstone of your church and the foundation mm-hmm. in which you build on, that puts you in a whole different category.
Oh, it does.
Yes, and we are to be different, but working together in the oneness of the Holy Spirit, the oneness mm-hmm. of God the Father, and the oneness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The verse continues, after it asks, "For who maketh you different from another?" It continues with, "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?"
Okay.
What do you have, Brian, that you didn't receive?
I would say the...
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
There's nothing that you have that you did not receive.
Yeah.
There's nothing we have that we didn't receive from God. God knew what we were going to be.
Yes.
He appointed what we're going to be. He gave us a purpose before we were even born.
Mm-hmm.
We can verify that in text of Scripture. Now, the verse continues after, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" It continues with, "Now, if thou didst receive it," okay, and we surely did, the question is asked by Paul, a convicting question to the Corinthian church and should be a convicting question to us today. "Why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Okay? Paul was writing to members in the church of Corinth that were definitely, and he used this in the prior chapter, puffed up.
Mm.
We don't want to be puffed up.
Don't want to be puffed up.
If you're a puffed up Christian, you're not walking in the will or the purposes of God. I can
That's
guarantee
right.
that. Puffed That's up right. in the Greek is P-H-U-S-I-O-O, fusio, and this word is used 5 times in 1 Corinthians by Paul, the same word. 1 Corinthians, here they are. 1 Corinthians 4:6 tells us they were puffed up because they esteemed the teachings of one teacher over another as wisdom that they could only understand and others couldn't. That made them puffed up. 1 Corinthians 4:18 tells us there were some teachers among the members of the church of Corinth that were puffed up by believing Paul would never return to Corinth and expose them as powerless teachers of God. 1 Corinthians 5:2 tells us they were puffed up rather than mourning, rather than crying, for a well-known act of fornication by a member within their church. And then 1 Corinthians 8:1 warns them not to be puffed up from the knowledge they have received from the Lord when there were other members in the church that haven't yet attained that knowledge. You don't puff yourself up because they are not there yet. You encourage them to be where you are is the proper way to be. You teach. You give them understanding. You give them wisdom. You share. We want every member in the church to be filled with as much potential as the Lord will allow them to have. And then 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells them that if the love of God was in their church and present among their members, that would be the end of being puffed up. That would end their puffed up problem.
Yeah, there you go.
So there it is. The love of God, that would be the end of the puffed up problem. Not the love of themselves, not the love of the world,
yeah,
but the love of God.
Amen.
Elsewhere in Scripture, Peter tells us, love shall cover a multitude of sins.
Huh.
And because the Corinthians were puffed up, they were clearly demonstrating worldly characteristics and not Christian characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Paul uses irony while he rebukes them. In the first part of 1 Corinthians 4:8, he says, now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, or we could say without any need of us. What is this fullness he's talking about? What are these riches Paul accuses the Corinthian Christians as having? Well, could it be a fullness they have received from the world around them and not from God? These are worldly riches, if that's true, Paul is speaking about, not heavenly riches. And they were living as kings, is what Paul says, meaning they were living as kings of the earth, kings of the world. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Brian, and I'm sure you remember these teachings, as most Christians who've looked into their Bible and read the Gospels will. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the fullness that we, as Christians, should strive for. And this is the fullness that can only come from God. The world cannot provide the fullness that God can provide.
Yeah.
As Bible-believing Christians, we see that very plainly. It should be part of our fabric. As those who are outside the body of Christ, still walking in the ways of the world, it's very, very hard for them to comprehend that unless someone share that knowledge with them.
Uh-huh.
Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus said in Matthew 19:23, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is speaking of men who are fully consumed with the riches they have on this earth only. Thus, they're easily blinded to the truth of the gospel of Christ, which would lead them into the kingdom of heaven. Then 1 Corinthians 4:8 continues, and I would to God ye did reign. Paul's saying, I wish God would allow you to reign. Now, what is that talking about? Well, it's referring to the time when all believers in Jesus Christ will reign as kings.
Amen.
And then Paul adds that we also might reign with you. And that last statement refers to the millennial and the eternal reign when all saints, we're told in the Bible, will have some part in reigning with Jesus Christ when he returns. And that's why Paul told him in verse 8, I would to God that you did reign. I wish that would be part of your future.
Uh-huh.
Paul wanted the Corinthians to be a part of God's kingdom reigning instead of being satisfied with their temporary earthly reigning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Revelation 1:5 tells us this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, Jesus is put above the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priest unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then Revelation 5:10 says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Apostle John was delivering more information about our future destiny as believers in Christ of being kings and priests upon this earth. These verses in Revelation are speaking of a time when we, as true followers of Jesus, will reign as kings on the earth. The Apostle Paul was pointing to the day when reigning as kings upon the earth would be accomplished for all believers, and that will only take place after all the present kings of the earth are subdued and put under Jesus' footstool. And that is written in God's word, and that will be done. These Corinthians were living as kings of the earth who will one day be totally under Jesus' rule. They were not living as future kings of the earth who they are appointed to be by trusting in the Lord for all things. Again, this all boils down to what perspective we have, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the earthly temporary perspective, or do we have the heavenly eternal perspective? If we have that heavenly eternal perspective, it will take care of a lot of problems.
Amen.
A lot of problems in the church. And now is a time to hear from who?
Some encouraging words from our pen from the heart.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, we're praying for Missionary Radio until the Lord comes back. From a Katie's listener, I just love the radio station. I listen on the drive into work and on the way home. You are in my prayers. From Hopkinsville, Missionary Radio has been such a blessing to me, and from Madisonville, thank you for blessing me daily with music and lessons. God bless you and all you touch with God's love.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
This is, of course, Wednesday, the 28th day, and this is the Front Porch with Bing Burbist.
All right. Welcome back. We left off asking two questions. Do we have the earthly temporary perspective, or do we have the heavenly eternal perspective? And we emphasize that we as Christians, if we believe what the Bible tells us, should have the heavenly eternal perspective. Amen. I think it's so comforting to know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that the moment we breathe our last breath upon this earth in these physical bodies, we still exist. We
yes.
don't die. I mean, a lot of people say my aunt died, my uncle died, my brother, my sister, my mother died. But if they're a Christian, if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, they passed on, Brian.
That's it.
They passed from this existence in this body that we're in to a heavenly existence, which they will receive a glorified body.
Amen.
To dwell in throughout all eternity. That is a comfort that the world lacks if they don't know the Son, Jesus Christ.
I think that's one of the neatest things, to know that we have no fear of death when we know who Jesus
absolutely
is and we serve
should
him.
Absolutely not have fear of death.
You know, I don't have any fear of death.
Yes.
You know, if he takes me today, I have no fear.
Yes.
You know.
There's some uncertainty of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you do fear, it's just, I don't know what it's going to be like. But
yeah.
We should have the comfort in the fact that Jesus will be there. We will see him.
Amen.
And And we can then just put ourselves into his hands 100% fully.
Amen.
A lot of times on this earth, we hold back. We're not 100% there.
Sure.
Yeah. But it is a comforting feeling. So we should have the eternal perspective. 1 John 2:15 tells us this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If any man love the world, it goes on to tell us this, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and then he goes on to list the lust of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which all people struggle with,
oh, yes.
is not of the Father. That's not where that comes mm-hmm. from, but is of the world. Mm-hmm. There's the origin of these things. It's from the world, the earthly temporary perspective, not the heavenly eternal perspective. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's exactly what we were talking about.
Sure.
Now,
absolutely.
Back to 1 Corinthians 4:9. We've made it two verses since we started. It says, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last. This is what Paul is telling them in the letter. As it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. And then he goes on to say, and a spectacle to the angels and to men. Here Paul is telling the Corinthians that the apostles are like something they would be familiar with, gladiators
mm-hmm.
in the arenas of that day. The word spectacle in the Greek is theatron, where we get our word theater. And just as gladiators were a spectacle in the arenas of that day, because the world was really under influence of Rome at that time, the apostles were spectacles on the world stage arena as well. In the morning of the arenas in the Colosseum, those that fought with beasts were given armor to protect themselves from wild beasts. But in the afternoon, the spectacle was the gladiators were brought in, most of the time unclothed and without any weapon to defend themselves from the sword of the assailant that they would be facing or the beast that they would be facing. If any of these gladiators escaped from this, they were simply kept for slaughter on the next day. They would be taken back out there the next day. These gladiators were really called men at that time, men appointed to death.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the last to make an appearance in the theater of the Colosseum for that day. So they were also called the last. So if we read this verse again, it gives us more clarity. 1 Corinthians 4:9 says, and this is Paul speaking, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and to men. So could it be Paul is comparing the sufferings of the apostles to these last gladiators of the day? I think that's pretty clear he was. Could it be in the spanning of the testaments, he was referring to the apostles succeeding or following in the same way the sufferings of the prophets of the Old Testament that came before them? We don't know. But whatever Paul was referring to, it is evident that he knew because of his apostleship and because he was ordained by God to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that one day in the future, because of what he was called to do by God, by Jesus himself, his appointment was to die for doing that work. He knew he was going to die
yes.
for doing the work that he did. And we mm-hmm. were just talking about it. Did he fear death? No, he did mm-hmm. not fear death. He was told by prophets, don't go to Jerusalem, because if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. And Paul said, I don't fear death. I'm ready yeah. to die right now.
Yeah.
Okay, but it was never going to stop Paul until that appointed death that Paul continues in verse 10. He says this, we are fools for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to tell the Corinthians, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. The world will look at Paul and those who follow in Paul's footsteps as fools.
Mm-hmm.
The world will consider Paul and consider those who follow in Paul's footsteps spreading the good news as weak. And the world will despise us when we bring the message of Christianity to the world. That's just mm-hmm. the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hostile world, and it's only hostile because it is influenced by Satan himself, whose enemy is the truth
mm-hmm.
of God that is given to mankind. You're going to find that Satan will attack Christianity 10 times, 100 times more than he will any other religion
yeah.
of the world,
oh,
because
yeah.
it is his enemy. It is what he wants to do. He wants to take over. He wants to bring seeds of the woman that was prophesied to kill him one day in Genesis into seeds of Satan that he mm-hmm. can deceive and use.
Yep.
Paul was no fool, but there were many in his day who thought he was. And Paul wasn't weak. He took severe beatings and mistreatment, but always continued in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was loved by those who accepted his message, but Paul was also despised. And we see that if you read the Acts of the Apostles, by many for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it was not a picnic when Paul went in to synagogues and to cities and tried to reason with the Jews there and the Gentiles there also of the truth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He came, he died, he rose again to cleanse the world from sins. That was not a popular message then, and it's still not something that is readily received when we share it today in our world.
True.
Remember what 1 Corinthians 1:18 told us. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The world doesn't comprehend that power of God. Why? Because it is totally opposite of the power that we are taught in the world. You don't submit with the world's power.
Yeah.
You don't sacrifice yourself by the world's power.
That's right.
It's a different, and you don't love back mm-hmm. by the world's power. And so having said that, we will take a break here to hear of a woman who is confined to a wheelchair but is one of the most powerful
mm-hmm.
saints you will ever hear.
That's right. Johnny Erickson Tata, sharing hope.
Can you believe that earlier this month we celebrated 43 years of Johnny's timeless radio ministry? 43 years and still going strong. Listen in now as Johnny talks about an especially encouraging Bible verse she loves to share on the radio.
3.5 decades, I have shared so many encouraging Bible verses about facing suffering with a heavenly hope. And a very hopeful word about suffering is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Peter tells his friends who were suffering, and I mean they were enduring really hard afflictions. He says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. Because you know what? Sometimes in the midst of tough trials, we find ourselves crying out, oh God, how long? How long, Lord? I can't see beyond today's pain. I don't think I can take this. What will tomorrow bring? That question, you know, the one when we ask, how long, oh Lord? That question is answered by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, where he says, quote, the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's it? That's the answer we have from God? That's not quite the answer we were looking for. But trusting God through tough times is not playing games. Suffering is a threat, a very big threat to our faith and confidence in God. Who wants to be among those who, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, are like those who shrink back and are destroyed? That's why endurance is so key to our faith. When you're hurting as I am right now as I share these things. My hip is hurting. When you are hurting, you have the airtight promise that God will rescue you if you persevere, if you endure to the end. I'll admit that's a hard lesson to swallow, but God does not leave us without comfort, because there is that wonderfully consoling verse I mentioned in the beginning, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, get this, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Oh my goodness, what a heartwarming thing to hear God say. What a sweet refreshment to people like you and me who are oft afflicted and weary. We are only suffering for a little while, just a little while, compared to eternity. And after we have suffered that short time, God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Is that great or what? In light of that, surely we can endure to the end. The assurance that God will not delay beyond what we can endure, and that he will completely do away with the trials that weigh us down, that he will shore up our faith that teeters and totters this side of eternity, that assurance, that promise, comes directly from the God of all grace. Not the God of some grace, or a little bit of grace, but all grace. He gives us all we need to endure to the end. Hallelujah! Friend, no wonder the Bible tells us to rejoice in our sufferings. Our hardships are winning for us an eternal glory that far outweighs the inconvenience of migraines, loneliness, poverty, or even quadriplegia.
Friend, won't you join me in thanking God for his promises, such as the ones Johnny just shared? And thank the Lord for 43 years of Johnny's inspirational radio program. Plus, I bet someone you know is crying out, "How long, O Lord?" So remind them that suffering is only for a little while. And send them to johnnyradio.org, where they can hear today's program and so much more.
I am Brother Mark Fine, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And, of course, this is, once again, The Front Porch.
Yes, it is. And that was a great message from Johnny. It was talking about, the world doesn't comprehend the power of God because it is total opposite of the world, of the power that is found in the world. And Johnny Erickson Tada is a prime example. She is a paraplegic. She's been confined to a wheelchair ever since she was, I think, 16. But there's no personality that comes across the airwaves of Missionary Radio that has more power than Johnny. And God often takes the weakness that we suffer, the sufferings and the persecutions that we endure, to accent how his power can defeat all
Absolutely.
These things.
Absolutely.
And in verse 4:11 of 1 Corinthians, it even ties in, because Paul tells this in his letter, even unto this present hour, he says, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Mm-hmm. Being persecuted, we suffer it.
Yes.
Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. So that's the way it was. That's what Paul was facing. And when he encountered an unbelieving world, that's what he felt. And this is exactly what we will face today more times than not when we encounter it with the message of Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised when you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with unbelieving friends and neighbors, coworkers, or fellow students, that you are going to not be embraced and hugged with kisses and love, but there will be some kind of apprehension you will face. There may be anger that you will face. There may be those who will turn and walk away and as if they do not want to speak to you again. That's the way it is. But most of the time, just like the Christian church, we seem to be full with what the world can provide.
Yes.
And seem to be satisfied with that. So that's what keeps us from doing this. Are we rich with worldly riches, that are temporary and we'll never be able to take with us? Are we living as what Paul was saying, kings of the earth, and not living as future kings of the heavenly kingdom? Paul was telling the Corinthians there is a huge difference between what you are presently and who you are called to be by God. So strive to be on board with what God has called you to be, and strive to attempt to work the purposes of God that he has already preordained all believers to do. 1 Corinthians 4:14 says, and this is fitting, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Mm-hmm. Paul established the church in Corinth. We can read that. It's verified in the Acts. Therefore, Paul viewed himself as the father to these many children in Corinth who are now going different ways. Verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, and Paul tells them this, I have begotten you. I birthed you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now that verse sometimes taken out of context. But he's saying, as any father of any household, Paul was having a serious talk to his wayward children, his disobedient children. They were not on the right path. And Paul was asking them to remember what it was like when he first brought the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. What was the most important thing in Paul's life? Well, we know this because he stated it many times in letters, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to an unbelieving world. Mm-hmm. He was challenging the Corinthian church to risk the chance of being reviled, as he was when he came to them, to risk the chance of being persecuted, as he was practically every time he came into a city to share the good news, to risk the chance of being defamed. And there was no other man more defamed in the nation of Israel than Paul, who was once a Pharisee of Pharisees, and then they thought he drastically betrayed them when he began to preach the gospel of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And he became the leading force. He became the leading force because he followed what Jesus purposed him to do, a spreading the gospel of him to the early Christian church. Paul was saying, don't worry what the world does to you. Don't worry what your friends think of you. The message that is entrusted to me and to you will always overcome any obstacle you will face in this world. And that's why he said, so be ye followers of me. Okay? 1 Corinthians 4:17 tells us, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Paul had something to do with his rebirth also, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you to remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. In other words, Timothy will remind you of the meekness and fear and trembling in which I came, but he will also remind you of the visible power of the Lord Jesus Christ that I displayed to you, which verified my words when I was sharing with you. The verse continues, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. So now he's talking about some of these teachers who feel they are leaders in the church and they will never be corrected by Paul because they don't believe he will ever come back to visit them. But he says this, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, or we could say the lack of power, of those that are puffed up. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So there has to be this inner man power that bubbles out within the church. Not the power that is contrived or made up out of the flesh. That will never transfer into the kingdom of God. What transfers into the kingdom of God is what is birthed by the Spirit of God, a power that can take any insult, a power that can take any beating, a power that will overcome, as many on the mission field today believe and know very well, even physical death. And we were talking about a Christian who truly believes what the Bible says should never fear death because it is never going to happen. You know, we're just going to be transferred from this world to the next.
Amen.
Verse 21 says, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? So here's your choice. Shall I come to you with a rod that a father was biblically allowed to use on his children? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. Paul was telling them, you have a choice, Corinthians. If this problem is not resolved in your church before I return, you can be sure I will straighten it out with discipline when I return. Or, on the other hand, you can resolve this problem before I return, in which case I will return to you in love and in the spirit of meekness, which we will all be able to share again as one in Jesus Christ. When Paul left them as a newly formed church, they shared this oneness. But sometime between that day and the day Paul is writing this letter, something fragmented. Well, we know they became puffed up. They traveled different paths. And Paul is determined that he's going to correct this problem in the church. So far in the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, we know there is a lack of spiritual growth in the church of Corinth because of the divisions or factions in the church. We also address the fact that the only division in a healthy church should be, then and today, as the division it should have concerning the way it lives and conducts itself in the world. We live as citizens of heaven on earth. We don't live as citizens of earth on earth. There's a different standard. Do we walk in the ways of the world or walk in the ways of Christ, which are always going to be contrary to one another? And next week, Lord willing, we will head into chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to find out that they're still walking in the ways of the world. Lord, help us. We need this. We need your power, not the world's power, but we need your power to overcome the power and the hold of the world around us. Allow that to happen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.